Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 24. This is the beginning of the exile, and we'll get into a little more a little bit later on, as well as tomorrow. So 2 Kings 24, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans, bands of Arameans, bands of Moabites, the bands of Ammonites. So he sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through his servants, the prophets. Surely at the command of the Lord, it came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done. And also for the innocent blood which he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not forgive. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, became king in his place. And the king of Egypt did not come out of his land again, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went up to Jerusalem, and the city came under siege. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his captains and his officials. So the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, just as the Lord had said. Then he led away into exile all Jerusalem and all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. So he led Jehoiachin away into exile to Babylon, also the king's mother and the king's wives and his officials and the leading men of the land. He led away into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of valor, 7,000, and the craftsmen and the smiths, 1,000, all strong and fit for war, and these the king of Babylon brought into exile to Babylon. Then the king of Babylon made his uncle Mattaniah king in his place and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For though the anger of the Lord this came about in Jerusalem, or through the anger of the Lord this came about in Jerusalem and Judah, until he cast them out from his presence, and Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Yeah, amen. Okay, so this is the start, and the next chapter will conclude what's known as the exile. And this is when God is finally tired of Judah, in this case, and he sends them into Babylonian captivity. And the main prophet that's speaking during this time is Jeremiah. So remember, Isaiah's already died before. So now Jeremiah, and interesting enough, you know, his nickname, or he was known as the weeping prophet, he will take precedence over the words of the Lord that come particularly to Judah during this time. And so we see that Jehoiakim comes into office. He's under Pharaoh Necho, if you remember before, but unfortunately, he rebels, but then God raises up another army. In other words, it was time for Judah to go into exile. And I'll talk about a little bit more about that in a little bit. And so he sends the army there. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, now this is a Babylonian empire, which was one of the strongest the world had ever seen. And he controls, and he actually almost destroys Egypt altogether. And it says that he brings them out all the way from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. So he went deep into Egyptian land and made sure that he was taken care of. Jehoiakim, we don't really know how he died. It wasn't in battle. We have no idea, but we know that he dies, but there's no special place for him because he was an inconsequential evil king in this regard. And then we have the deportation that comes, and it'll be finalized in the next chapter where Jerusalem is burned and plundered. But we see that Nebuchadnezzar comes while they're in siege. Jerusalem is in siege. In other words, they're being ransacked, and he takes the king prisoner. He takes his whole family prisoner. He takes all the gold, all the treasuries from the temple, all the treasuries from the king's house, even the gold that Solomon had. Remember, he inlaid the temple with gold, and they totally come to the place to destroy it. And then he leads these people over to exile. But if you read, he only leads the best. He doesn't take, I know that the translation says poor people, but it could also be translated as like unskilled people or poor, not necessarily in terms of material wealth, but poor in terms of their human resources in this way. They didn't have a craft. They didn't have a trade. And so they were destitute in certain way. And so the Lord, the Nebuchadnezzar and the Lord takes away all the skilled people, the fighters, the warriors, the brains, the intellectuals, the politicians, the skilled craftsmen. And what may seem on the outside, remember yesterday I talked about that tapestry. Remember, on this side of heaven, we don't really see what's going on, but on the other side of heaven, we can see this beautiful rug and this plan of God and this tapestry that's laid out. Well, we see here in this place that on this side of heaven, it seems really confusing. Like, man, like Jerusalem is just destroyed. All the good people, the useful people, the skilled people are gone. And now they're going into Babylon. And so on this side of heaven, that's what we see. But we don't understand what God was doing. He was preserving for himself a remnant. Judah needed to go into exile for a season. And they needed to go into exile because of the evil they had done. And this was something that was prophesied. In other words, God had to purge them. God had to create a holy people once again. Now remember, the Lord, from the time of Noah, he will no longer destroy the earth. And so he needs a remnant of people that will be faithful because his son, the Messiah, will come through the people of Israel. And so what he does is he puts people into captivity, and that seems to be the way that God goes about and restores his remnant, really restoring the nation. So he takes them into captivity. He protects them in the place of captivity. He actually brings them into positions of power even in the midst of their captivity. And so you can hear, you can read Jeremiah, the prophet, as he's speaking into the situation. And you remember when they're going into the Babylonian captivity, remember what Jeremiah says? He says, go, and I want you to marry your daughters off. I want you to have vegetation and plant vegetables and fruits, and I want you to build and make houses. And I mean, he's telling them this in the midst of their deportation. There's also the very famous passage in Jeremiah 29 that many of us have quoted, I'm sure, or have been quoted to us. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And so we understand that God's plan through this of taking the skilled workers, taking the soldiers, was to give them a future and a hope. And so on the outside, it seems like, Lord, this is calamity. How can this happen to our city? How can you take away and imprison our best people? But it was God's plan. He says, you know, I have a plan for you, and it's not for calamity. It's to give you a future and a hope. And that's precisely what happens. And so in essence, what God does, God takes this remnant, particularly about 20,000 people, soldiers, craftsmen, skilled people, intellectuals, and he basically hides them for a season of time. He refines them, and now we understand a bit of the ministry of Daniel, The ministry, and that's basically how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's how they really step into this place. And so we see that God was refining them, cleansing them, and preparing them to be the nation that they should have been all along. It's a purging that happens here in this place. Now, that should really speak to us a lot of times, because the reality is, because we're so sinful, we're so hard-hearted, we're so self-centered and selfish that a lot of times it takes tragedy or it takes difficulty or persecution, you know, or all kinds of different things to come our way that brings us back into alignment with God. We turn from our wicked ways and we come and we follow the Lord. and it's not God's plan A. God's plan A would be that we would repent and we would turn our ways, but because of our sinful nature, it's until we hit rock bottom or we come to that place of despair that we finally start turning back to the Lord. And that's what he's creating, this opportunity for this to happen to the people of Israel. And like I said, it should really speak to us in this way, because I think that happens a lot in our life. Because of our hardness of heart, because of our sinfulness and and our self-centeredness, that until we get outside of our own strength, we'll never find God. It's reminded of C.S. Lewis that he writes, I think in The Problem of Pain, one of his great books, and it's really the book dealing on suffering. And he says that God shouts in our pain. And there's something about when we're going through difficulty that God speaks the loudest in. We can't hear God when things are going well. We can't hear God when we're still trying to figure out ourselves or become so self-dependent, but we hear God when we are outside of ourselves, and he brings them into this place. Again, you could look at this as tragic, but the way God looks at this is as an opportunity. There's an old Christian saying, you know, that says what man considers adversity, God sees as opportunity. And this is precisely the prime opportunity for Judah and for Israel to turn back to the Lord, to come back into that place. And you can imagine that God is at his wit's end. I mean, we had Josiah, a good king, and did many wonderful things, and boom, in less than a generation, his son comes and reverses everything around. And then his other son gets worse and worse. Even when he's thrown into Egyptian captivity, he becomes a vassal of Egypt, and they still don't learn their lessons, and he continues to do evil in the sight of the Lord. And so God raises up Nebuchadnezzar to go in and to capture Jerusalem in this place. And then later on, he'll besiege and just totally destroy the whole city in that regard. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Have we committed the folly of the Israelites? Have we seen difficulty and blamed God when it was really our own fault? Or have we learned from our difficulties and understanding that there's a purging that God is doing? There's a refining in our lives that the Lord is taking care of. If you're going through a difficult time, focus your eyes on the Lord and the opportunity that he's given you to hear from God. He shouts in the midst of our pain. Let's sing and pray together.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fills his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. Trust in his righteousness alone. Faultless we stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. Well, let's pray this morning. Here's that quote I mentioned. It says, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Maybe God is shouting right now. Let's listen. Let's see this as an opportunity to right ourselves before the Lord, an opportunity for God to come through, opportunity for us to get out of ourself and into Him. Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our community that's battling through cancers and illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community. They're battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through a non-cancer related illness. So let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for China today. Let's ask for God's hand upon this nation. Let's pray that Holy Spirit would breathe life into this country. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his family and his staff, and the Lord would continue to use them. Pray for the Chung family, their ministry. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents in their translation work, and Edie Clark. And let's lift up the churches, the Three Self, the Underground, the international churches. Pray for God's hand to really proclaim the gospel through these pulpits. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead our members, and that they would really be used by the Lord in the wisdom of God and the favor of the Lord. Pray over their families, and God would just really protect so they could serve the Lord with all their heart. Let's cover our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for Yahweh. Pray for the Connect Retreat in December. Pray for Yahweh Eats, men's ministry, the Monday prayer, Pure Desire, men's fraternity, and the retreat coming up next weekend. And the women's ministry, let's lift up Lift and the discipleship class and retreat happening this weekend. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our new building and resources. Pray for a benefactor and continue to God would build a vision fund. Let's also pray for the third floor and sixth floor renovations. Right now it's just sixth floor. Let's pray that Bernice, as she manages the project, and Dominic helps, that they would really put together something really beautiful for us. Let's pray for our house churches this week. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's pray for the leaders and our house church members. We just really fall deeper in love with God and with each other. And lastly, let's just cover the women's retreat again. Let's just pray for Pastor Sunhee as she shares the word. Pray for the women's ministry leaders as they lead discussion groups and plan out the schedules. And really, our women would really have an encounter with God at Noah's Ark. Pray. Father, thank you, God, so much. Thank you for watching over us, God. And yeah, we want to continue to be obedient to you, Lord. We want to, regardless of the circumstances in our life, God, we want to learn from them, Lord, and want to worship you through them, God. And thank you, God, that you do shout in the midst of our pain, God. You try to wake us up from our own slumber, God. And so would you come and just meet with us today, God, as we just totally fall at your feet, God, in need of mercy. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you so much, God. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Let's together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.